Thanks a lot. It's a pleasure to be here. And let me just say that, like David Dollar, it's been over 20 years for me to be in Guangdong province. And unlike David Dollar, I don't remember the water, but I do remember the health sector, and quite a lot has changed. I also want to say thank you very much to our colleagues for some very good discussions and very good time spent together. And I think that we can certainly develop some meaningful analysis and some good recommendations for a way forward in terms of health. And I think that Dr. Li has started the session in a very good way. He's talked about some of the important governance issues in the health sector, which are part of the problem and I think part of the solution, the duplication and fragmentation. And I want to expand a little bit on that as I go through the presentation. So health has always been an important part of China's balanced development. And I think that we did see progress on health outcomes, certainly in the 50s and 60s, but then we saw a bit of a dip in the 80s and 90s in the early part of this decade. And we also saw inequalities persisting and actually getting worse. And I think that we'll talk a little bit about the good results in the 50s and 60s, and we'll talk about some of the challenges in the 90s, the early parts of this decade, and then we'll talk about some of the reforms that have been going on very aggressively in the past few years. Indeed, when I came to Beijing again for the first time in many years in April, health reform was on the lips of every health policymaker, and that was a very, very good signal. And there's some very serious thinking going on in the Party Congress, in different parts of the government. So we'll go through that, and then we'll go through a couple of the challenges that remain in the health sector. There's also been a risk to infectious diseases, potential pandemics, with health consequences, of course, and with economic consequences, both in terms of cost and macroeconomic impacts. And then finally, there's been a real issue of financial protection since the 90s in terms of people paying out of pocket for services. Okay. So very quickly, some graphics on the inequities across provinces on two measures for the under five mortality. And I don't need to go through these in great detail. I think you can see very, very clearly that there are big differences across regions in terms of this one measure of under five mortality. The next slide, and then you can also see maternal mortality. Again, you see very big range of outcomes across regions. Okay, next. Go back. We also see the issue of rising incidence of infectious diseases. Now, some of this is certainly due to improved awareness. Some of this is due to better diagnostics and disease reporting, but I'm not sure that the increases in infectious diseases can be fully accounted for by these changes in diagnostics and reporting. Next slide. Let's skip over that. That basically shows us the same thing in terms of the inequities. It puts everything by province. So let's go to the next one. Now, we talked about this issue of financial protection. So let's go to the next slide. And here we see a rather interesting graphic on the rise in out-of-pocket payments since 1990, both in terms of the amount of money, this is adjusted for inflation, but also the share of spending that's coming out of pocket. And here we see by 2000, almost 60% of health spending was coming out of pocket from a quite a relatively low base just 10 years before. Now that's improved, and I'll come back to that again later. Next slide. Here we see the cost to people in terms of percentage of their income, cost of hospital care. And what's interesting here is that things are getting worse in this graphic, not only between 1998 and 2003, but China compares very poorly with other countries. both rich countries and poor countries. And you can see that it is above poor countries such as Cambodia, as well as above countries such as Turkey or Hungary or some of the transition countries in Europe. So, of course, this has had an impact on people's incomes, on the way they save, and it is coming up in the surveys again and again as a very important issue for households across China. Now, why were some of these changes in health status, why were some of these changes in out-of-pocket spending occurring? I certainly think an important part of this was the low insurance coverage, the collapse of the health insurance systems in the 1990s. But we also saw weaknesses in service delivery, both in terms of a rising cost, but we also saw a lot of inefficiency in the way services were delivered. And we also saw in the 90s and early parts of this decade an over-provision or an over-emphasis on high technology. High technology, on the one hand, might be very good for better diagnosing care. On the other hand, it's not the most cost-effective use of services or in the mix of services, and sometimes it was being overutilized. So here we see the changes in terms of insurance coverage over time. And in the urban areas, we see drops. But in the rural areas, we see a dip, but then we see a start of increasing insurance coverage starting in the early part of this decade with the cooperative medical scheme. Next slide. So I think, too, we saw problems in the service delivery sector in terms of the limited government financing, the move to more of a reliance not only on out-of-pocket payments, but also fee-for-service medicine. Fee-for-service medicine encouraged, of course, utilization, encouraged volumes of services, not always the right mix, not always just necessary services. And then there were the distorted prices. There were fee schedules that actually allowed bigger profit margins for high-technology services relative to preventive services and primary care services. And, of course, that also pushed the mix of healthcare services in the wrong direction in terms of cost effectiveness. Next slide. Here you just see the cost of hospital care, and you see it at different levels in terms of the township community centers, in terms of the central and county level hospitals, and you see that they are quickly increasing each year. Next slide. This is kind of a nice slide. I wish I had thought of this. This is not my slide, but it's a very good slide trying to measure hospital efficiency. And on the horizontal axis, you see a measure of occupancy, numbers of beds and occupancy rate, which is a kind of measure of allocative efficiency. And on the vertical axis, you see a bed turnover rate, which is a kind of measure of technical efficiency. How quickly, once you go into the hospital, do you get out of the hospital? And where you want to be is in that third quadrant. We compare China with other countries in the world, and you can see that where you want to be in terms of efficiency is in that third quadrant. And then you can also see where China is now. They do poorly, both in terms of occupancy rate and technical efficiency. There's high numbers of beds that are unused. Now, why is that? Well, it could be because people who need services aren't getting services, or it could be that there are too many beds and the investment and operating costs are too high for beds in hospitals relative to what's needed. So this is something that deserves further investigation. Next slide. This is also a graphic on technology. It looks at MRIs, one technology. It regresses per capita income with the number of MRIs per capita, and it gives you a picture of how China compares with other countries in the same income category. And here you see that China is above the line. Again, it's not necessarily bad that they have more machines or more MRI technology scanners relative to other countries, but you really need to drill down in terms of how they're used, under what circumstances, is it appropriate services only, or is it more in the way of unnecessary services? So we talked about weaknesses in the service delivery system, and we also talked about the fee-for-service, we talked about the distorted prices, and there's also the issue of decentralization. Go to the next slide. Next slide. And here I think that this is, again, a graphic showing how money is allocated across provinces relative to needs. And you see one measure of need here, the one outcome measure, and then you see the amount of money going to various cities and various provinces. And you can look at Guangdong. Guangdong does not do as well as some of the big cities, such as Shanghai or Beijing, but it doesn't do so poorly. But I think what's interesting about this graphic is that those provinces that have poor outcome numbers are getting the least amount of money. And vice versa, those that are doing very well in terms of outcomes are doing quite well in terms of resource allocation. In a best case scenario, you'd want to see a pattern that looks more like a 45-degree line that runs through that graph. But in fact, what we see here is almost the reverse, almost the opposite in terms of how money is being allocated to provinces and cities relative to the needs in the healthcare system. Next slide. Now, those are some of the worrisome signs, some of the things that we've seen over the past decade. And I think what we've seen as a government response is very good and very aggressive. We've seen increased NCMS coverage since 2003, and this just shows the number of counties. This is out of date. It's 2007, but it's out of date. Every week, this graphic is out of date because there are more and more counties being covered under the NCMS program. That's very good. There are still high out-of-pocket payments under NCMS. We know that the benefit package is relatively shallow, but nevertheless, the coverage is increasing. At the same time, there's the issue of voluntary participation. If you're young and healthy, you don't necessarily have to participate if you don't want to. And that sets up an issue of adverse selection, and really raises questions of sustainability in the long run if not everyone is going to be joining the rural health insurance system. Next slide. We also see here the medical assistance program, and I think what's very good about the medical assistance program is that it does seem to target very well those who need support. The numbers we have are 20% for the WABO, and you can read the rest of the numbers up there in terms of the different groups, the DBAL, the RECON, and so on. And I think that that is an accomplishment of the medical assistance program. The money is going to those groups who are in need. I think one of the issues here, going back to Dr. Lee's presentation, is why you would have necessarily a separate program to cover out-of-pocket payments for the poor or the near poor or some of the vulnerable groups. One option might be to just pool that money under one insurance program, because China does seem to be able to target people who do need the support rather well. Next slide. As I mentioned, the out-of-pocket payments are going down. Not too long ago, I was meeting with the Ministry of Finance, who indicate that the out-of-pocket payments have gone not only from about 60% to 50%, but even something like 45 to 49%. So that is a real move in the right direction, is a very positive signal. Next slide. I think an issue in the health sector, too, is public health. The reliance on out-of-pocket payments for basic public health goods. That could be a range of things, from water and sanitation to immunizations, things that are both public goods and have high externalities. And here we see that, in fact, the government is promoting, is putting more money into basic public health programs, and there's going to be less reliance in the future on out-of-pocket payments. And I think that's also a very positive signal. Next slide. So another issue that's come up in the inefficiency of service delivery that we talked about was fee-for-service medicine. And here we see a lot of provinces, including this province, are thinking about provider payment reforms. And I had a very interesting discussion the other day on some of the global budget initiatives for hospitals, case-mix adjusted payment systems with global budgets, very sophisticated models that are now being introduced in Guangdong. And we see those in other provinces as well. We're in early stages, but it's a very hopeful sign, and I think it will promote not only greater efficiency, but greater consumer protection. So I think that we talked about insurance, we talked about provider payment, and I also think we're seeing now more in the way of initiatives at the facility level. There's increased autonomy. There's increased flexibility in how they can spend their money. I think they're going to have to go further. They're going to have to think about more flexibility in terms of hiring and firing, in terms of demand-driven staffing patterns. I think they'll have to do more in terms of evidence-based medicine and use of protocols by physicians. And I think they'll have to do more in terms of regional planning, especially for high technology. We talked before about the overuse of technology, and I think that while there has been more flexibility at the facility level, there's probably a need for some planning and some coordination at a larger regional level for facilities. Next slide. Future challenges for health insurance. I'll echo what Dr. Lee said. We need to think about reducing duplication, and we might think about merging the various schemes in China, whether they be schemes in the rural area or whether they be schemes in the urban area or the variety of schemes across urban and rural areas. And here there's a graphic of what happened in Korea when they went from 300-plus schemes down to one scheme over the course of about 10 years. And here you see that in 1994, they were spending about 10% of their expenditures on administrative overhead. And by 2006, as they went to one pool, one insurance pool, they were spending less than 1% on administrative costs. They put that money back in to improve coverage and extended their benefit package. And I think it's a good model, one good model that China could consider, whether you pool at the provincial level, whether you pool at the national level, whether you pool at urban and rural, I think those are things that we will need to discuss in more intensive ways over the next couple of months. Let's go on to the next slide. We've covered that pretty much. And I think this, again, is another graphic which shows a pattern that's also familiar to you in Guangdong, which is now you pool at the county level. Now you pool at the county level, and the problem is the ability to raise revenues and the ability to mobilize resources, both public and private, is limited at the county level. And so you have big variations across counties in terms of per capita spending. And here we show one relatively rich province, Jiangsu, and one relatively poor province, Jiangxi. And you can see that the patterns are pretty much the same. Yes, there are differences in terms of the absolute amount of spending, but you can see the variations across counties. And this again is an equity problem. And in terms of the various pools at the county level, this is an efficiency problem. So, and the numbers I've heard in the past week suggest that the numbers are very similar in Guangdong, and it's something that we should actually look at more closely in the coming weeks. This just shows the national inequities in terms of urban and rural spending per capita. It's 10 to 1. Again, I think that this is very similar to the numbers that I was given in Guangdong. I think it's very similar. It's not 10 to 1. It's not quite that bad, but it's a big variation in terms of spending for healthcare per capita in urban versus rural areas. So this is another important issue that is both a governance issue, an equity issue, and an efficiency issue. So in conclusion, we need to think about three areas, in addition to what Dr. Lee said: health financing, and certainly the related issues of health insurance, some of the issues related to service delivery, and I talked about some of the inefficiencies. I also talked about the fact that there is more autonomization, more flexibility. There's certainly improvements in those areas, but we may need to come back to some greater balance in terms of what's autonomous or what flexibility there is in certain dimensions and what is actually coordinated at a higher, more regional level. And then thirdly, finally, the public health issues. There's a lot of underfinancing, there's a lot of duplication and fragmentation, and I think that, again, with the issue of public goods and externalities, we need to think very carefully about what changes can be made to the basic public health system. Thanks a lot.